Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back, or should I say howdy? This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, and when I go straight into the sponsoring, at the very beginning, without sneaking it in, you know we're going to be getting into a lot of content. And as a matter of fact, not content, we're going to get into marketing, and I've got a lot to go through because I want to get through, and at least catch up to a point to where we can start diving into some content. So with that, as you know, you are listening to the only show that really tells you what the solution is. And as a matter of fact, I want you to understand the solution, the designers of the solution, or how I confirmed that this really is the solution, because this is what Thomas Jefferson and James Madison did in 1798. If you don't know, if you don't understand, then go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, to our Constitutional Articles page, and read the article that provides what I will say the analytical insight regarding the, I'll just put it to you this way, regarding the this thing called interposition and nullification. And as a matter of fact, the article title is, I believe, interposition. I'm on the page right now. It's nullification or interposition. And so you tell me. You tell me, were they really out to nullify? I think I prove, or I provide the evidence that, no, nullification is what happened in any case when you identify. It's a perfunctory process. It is something that happens immediately when one actually, you know, discovers that the law that you're looking at is in direct violation to the supreme law or the primary law. Anyway, and does that happens all the time? As a matter of fact, your state legislators unwittingly and unknowingly, because they don't know what an ex post facto law is, they are passing ex post facto laws directly violating the Constitution. But that's okay, because guess who else passes ex post facto laws? The federal government. Anyway, what we want to do is we want to just kind of get into the marketing. So let me just tell you, we've got a comment line. Instead of dialing in, I know that there's, you know, Top Talk that you can dial in to talk and call, but because most of these shows are pre-recorded, and we will tell you when we actually do the live shows, and we'll probably do that. We're going to probably work that in the near future to where we have an open line Monday. You know, there's lots of open line Fridays and that type of stuff. But what we'll probably do is figure out, you know, something different. But we do want to make the efforts of trying to actually have conversations. But my preference would be, why don't you send us a phone call at your convenience when you're ready, 425-270-5416. If the topic and what you're discussing is something that we could easily dive into to a conversation, we'll call you back and we'll just record that conversation and we'll play it on air. We will play your comments, your questions, your problems on air. Well, not personal problems. I mean, if you've got, you know, a problem with your sister or family problem or what have you, we won't play that. But anyway, we want to thank you for tuning in. We want to thank you for listening. And, you know, we'll just continue to remind you that we're in the midst of a constitutional crisis because we do not have a president. We do not have a valid or legitimate president in accordance with the Constitution. So what do? Well, we have to start putting up the pressure. And as a matter of fact, I believe that the states can actually start moving forward in declaring. But here's the irony. the 31 states that violated the Constitution by not having the state legislators, I mean, the state legislators who have had the wool pulled over them when the governor assumed unconstitutional emergency powers and then started changing laws and changing how they were going to conduct the upcoming election. Well, I think it would be apropos. I think it would be, you know, karma if the state legislators stepped in and severely punished their governors. And when I say severely punished, you do realize, because in Idaho, I see this idiocracy, if there's such a thing, or this imbecility, there we go, that they're trying to impeach their governor. And I go, this is ridiculous. What the heck? The Constitution tells you that if the public servant violates the Constitution by taking away your rights, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment says that person's gone. You don't have to impeach them. Section 3 of the 14th Amendment supersedes impeachment processes. But the problem is, and here's the funny thing, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment has been around a long time. And when I say around a long time, it's been around longer than some of these state constitutions. And still people are, you know, doing recalls. And I go, what the? Constitutional literacy is killing us, or the lack thereof. So it is what it is. Excuse me. The last thing I was doing in yesterday, or our previous episode, was we were kind of railing on the party. Now, so if you're at the point that you can see that the only thing we can do is abandon the party, because all things that are unconstitutional, and this is why I'm hoping that you're at this point of looking at this stuff objectively, all the damage that is being done is being done. And it's not a direct sanctioning. It is by design of the party. And the party is the siren song out there telling you, come this way, come hither. This is what we need to do. And I am telling you that the siren song is the Republican Party, or the Uniparty. I have been telling you that the Constitution Party is really where true patriots need to go and need to align and get involved. There's minor things, but I'm just telling you that when you look at the Constitution Party, it stands on the Constitution. They believe that you understand the Constitution. Why would we not want constitutional politicians instead of big government politicians, or instead of the Uniparty politicians, the globalists, or those politicians that are accountable to those who pay them to be in that seat? You know the old adage, he who pays the piper calls the tune. And you can't expect that your representative is going to even listen to you when they're being bought off by whoever. And in some of these dark red states, it's not much. And once they get into office, it's just these little stipends that they get. Go look at how much money it cost in the last legislative election in your district. How much did both sides pay, or all three, four, five, however many candidates there are? I mean, 9 times out of 10, like in Wyoming, it's less than $5,000. That's nothing. Go look in California what legislative seats cost. We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars. I am telling you that when it comes down to when money recognizes the importance of buying those seats, it steps in. At least it steps in the Republican, or I should say the Uniparty. And they do everything they can to buy that. You need to quit voting for the Uniparty. You need to start voting for the constitutional candidates. One of the things I tried to do, when I tried to get everybody that believed in supporting the Constitution, I had the chair, state chair of the Constitution Party. I had the state chair of the Libertarian Party. I had the local chair of the Republican Party. I had, you know, the militia, the leader of the militia. I had everybody who was a local leader that had some association, direct association, to supporting or fulfilling a constitutional role. And what I did was I basically said, if you all, I mean, because the Spokane area has turned blue. And it's turned blue because they've all divided themselves over their stupid agendas. And so the fact is, I told them that if you all united on the Constitution and worked together, then if the Constitution Party came up with the best constitutional candidate, everybody would be supporting that one person. But instead, you support the party over the Constitution. You can't tell me you're not the problem. You're being divisive, because what is best is when we have politicians who understand the Constitution and they step up and they support the Constitution in accordance with their oath. This is one of the reasons why I've got to the point where I'm actually working with constitutional party leaders and trying to help clarify and simplify the platform and little things, so that when you look at the Constitution Party, it just hits you right in the face to say, wow, I mean, they're not pulling punches. They're demanding full compliance to the Constitution by their politicians, by government. They're calling everybody out to support the Constitution and comply. Well, with that, we're at that point where we're going to go into a break. So please stay tuned, and we're going to be right back. And I'm going to go get the gun and kill this frog. Hopefully I can. And we'll be back right after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let's play some context, because I've talked about this before. I've talked about how the 14th Amendment has actually changed how government at the state level is supposed to behave, because it applies the Constitution and the protections for U.S. citizens at the state level. Because prior to the 14th Amendment, states were actually free to be able to oppress and do all sorts of things. But the one thing that is not applied in the Constitution to the states is the freedom of the press. Now, I've been stating this several times. I've argued this, that the states need to actually step up and define the press or what the press means and what should be free. I do not believe institutions should have the, you know, the laissez-faire approach of managing the press. I believe that the states need to come up with standards of what journalism is, and I believe the states should actually apply that and actually tax these propaganda mills, any news agency that only runs one-sided stories, it does not provide objective journalism, and is constantly singing the mantra of the national narrative, then they should be recognized as a tabloid, not a news or media outlet, and that they should be classified and taxed and rated that way. Because I don't believe that a propaganda and or a tabloid deserves any type of tax credits. I believe that, hey, somebody's got to pay their bills, and I think that they need to start paying for the standards of the press. And so that's one of the things. I mean, you know, you have a road tax to, and what politicians tend to do is they will, you know, start taxing you for the road. They'll go, wow, we made a little extra money than we needed. And they'll siphon that money off and instead of actually backing that tax out. Oh, well, we don't want to do that. Here's the problem. There needs to come up with, they have to come up, and we can do this. We can treat the press just like jury duty, where individuals can be called forth and they can come up and they can analyze the local media and or the media throughout the state by looking and reading stories that, you know, are, and I'm, when I say arbitrarily, that there's no pre-done, I mean, the people that walk in there are the ones that kind of grab the stories that are kind of, let's call them lightning rod issues or hot button issues, and go through and say, you know what? This is not an objective story. I believe that the people, and this will actually start educating the people to say, you know, there is this due diligence that must be done if somebody's going to call themselves a journalist. But anyway, this is all, you know, building up to a G. Edward Griffin need-to-know news story of what is going on with the press. Now, I will say this, that the freedom of the press should be applied to the individual reporter. In other words, and I know that there's this stigma regarding whistleblowers, but I believe that whistleblowers should have the ability to be able to come through, and I believe that there needs to be some freedom for the individual reporter. Not the institutional, these, you know, because I do know that there are ideologues out there that are trying to get the truth. I see it in a lot of these different red states where they're competing with the news media, and they're just, and they're struggling because they're not getting their credentials where the big media, so you the people need to start saying, hey, you know, I'm tired of these guys getting all of this access, and they're the ones that are they're basically the spinners. They are the ones that are handled. They're the PR company for the politicians and for, you know, the progressive agenda. Anyway, the story is this. A 46-year-old woman in the United Kingdom was arrested by police after she had filmed a video inside the Gloucestershire Royal Hospital, which featured virtually empty corridors and empty wards, and then she posted it online. She has been charged on suspicion of public order offense. While the footage shows the inside of the hospital to be virtually empty, the UK health authorities have continually asserted that the NHS is at risk of being overwhelmed as a result of the rising COVID-19 infections. Public data shows that hospitals are indeed emptier than at this time last year, with beds being 89% occupancy compared to 95% occupancy in December 2019. Almost all of the emergency Nightingale hospitals that were built at a cost of 22 million pounds to handle overflow COVID patients were never used and are now being dismantled. So there's merit in allowing somebody like, and when we see the lawyers and the progressives going after Project Veritas. Now, Project Veritas is kind of an organization now, an institution, because they're making money because they're putting their necks on the line. But bottom line, are they trying to provide objective exposés? And I think that when you start looking at what they're doing and how they're doing it, I think that there needs to be standards so that the mainstream media doesn't get away with doing the crap that they're doing. They're not out there trying to expose. I mean, remember 60 Minutes and 2020, they used to be exposés. As a matter of fact, when these guys called, Morley Schaefer called, I mean, you knew that they were looking in your knickers and you didn't want to talk to them because they were going to expose you. Now all they do is soft pedal. Did you know? And I'm sure everybody knows that they're working on a third COVID package to the tune of almost $2 trillion this time. I mean, it seems like your hard work is easy to come by, because whenever they hand out money and they're spending your money, they're basically telling you they're going to come after you to pay these bills. As they run up the debt and as they basically bankrupt this nation, they're going to convince you that this debt is legitimate and that you have to pay, or we have to dismantle the government because the government has failed. And, oh, we're really sorry. Are you kidding me? I don't understand why the conservatives were so quiet when they were throwing away our money under the Trump administration for 4 years. I'm not just talking about COVID crap. I'm saying for 4 years, Trump was very quick to spend our money. You can't tell me he was a fiscally conservative or that he was doing anything great, because look at what he did to the debt. He was doing that all unconstitutionally with the help of Congress and the Supreme Court. What they're going to be doing is unleashing $400 billion to expand vaccinations and reopen schools. They want to give you $700 per earner, or $1,400 direct payments to households and other priorities, including a gradual increase in the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour. Everything that I just told you all reeks of an increase of currency in the system, or I should say in circulation. Well, what does that mean? That means that they're going to inflate the crap out of the dollar, and they're bringing down its value. When you get to a point where all of a sudden you keep pumping money in, we're going to hit the Japanese deflation model. And I am here to tell you, this is not good. We have to be honest. And as I talked about the Trump impeachment and so forth, we have to be honest. We have to start using the Constitution as our measure of standard on our politicians and on our government. Another thing that's not G. Edward Griffin need to know news, but you can't be surprised that as China starts rattling its sabers, you're going to see Commie Joe actually, you know, getting in lockstep with what he's going to be told to do by the Communist Party. And he is going to put out a welcome, you know, a red rug welcoming the red Communist China Party into America. There's a lot of people that are talking about, you know, troops coming in and so forth. I am telling you that we're getting to the point, because of our complacency and our inability to even just engage your politicians. get involved with the Republic Review, because that's what we're doing. I sent out my fourth constitutional minute. Once a week, I send out a constitutional minute to the state legislators. We're trying to get these things out. Go to Mobius Strip Press, or actually go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. We have all of them up there on the constitutional articles page, but go, you follow us on Facebook, you'll see them every week. We're going to be printing these things out. I'm trying to catch up on Facebook, but bottom line, we're trying to teach your state legislators what they need to do. We need your help. And what we want to do, because we're getting blocked by legislators in red states. And so what we're going to do is we're going to start putting up the names of the people of, you know, who's blocking us in the state. And this way, if that's your legislator or if that's in your state, you can call these guys up and go, hey, what did you think about this last constitutional minute? Well, we don't read that. And then you can call them out for not reading it and saying, you know what? I mean, are you paying for it so that it's something you can discard and I can't, you know, can't complain? Because you're getting some free education on what needs to be done in dealing with the problem. We elected you to deal with the problem. So you better start getting educated or we're going to replace you by recalling you or removing you with the 14th Amendment. We'll be right back.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so anyway, back to Joe Biden, Commie Joe. And I'm going to tell you that as Trump was really leaning into, and for a good reason, the thing I liked what Trump was doing was he was really clarifying our relationship with the communist countries out there and that he was putting America first. And as a matter of fact, those Harrys in our lives, they all had to admit, well, that was a good thing. I mean, it really has helped our economy. Well, I can tell you that as things are going to transpire, we should be getting ready to go to war against China because China is doing all sorts of economic and socio-political things, actions against the United States that are nothing but and nothing short of being hostile. And what's going to end up happening is that Joe Biden is going to cave. And what does this mean to our liberty and our Constitution? Just so you know, earlier this month, it basically as the United States was exercising in the South China Seas, China basically said that they're going to conduct military exercises in the South China Sea in the upcoming weeks. And this was basically just after the United States aircraft carrier group entered into the disputed waters. A notice issued by the country's Maritime Safety Administration prohibited entry into a portion of waters in the Gulf of Tonkin to the west of the Luzhou Peninsula in southwestern China. And bottom line, we do not recognize the sovereignty of the water, anything out beyond a certain point. And it is not an exercise of hostility. It is called an exercise of free water sailing. We do this around the world. And so what China is trying to do is they're trying to assert that they have the strategic interest, and they don't have a strategic interest. As a matter of fact, the Shaklin Islands and many of the places well out, I mean, even Taiwan, because Taiwan is an autonomous area. And this is why I call Trump out. Trump should have approached the people of Taiwan and said, why don't you have an open and free election to determine if you want to become a state of the United States? Our Constitution allows any state in the world to apply and to petition to become a state in the United States. That's how we start dealing with these rogue entities and these tyrants. Let the people stand up, because the best thing we could do to China is watch all of a sudden the people of China start revolting. Now, because of their big brother system, that may not happen on the mainland, but these rogue nations that they have not assumed full control, yes, there is a good possibility that we could actually start tearing these controls that they have over, you know, tens of thousands, but there's probably, I'm going to say, somewhere between 30 to 60 countries that have been become lapdogs for China. Anyway, with Biden now being president, China has, you know, a much wider open door, just like Russia, just like the rest of the communists, in being able to come in and take over. They're going to be able to pour their money in. Just look at what Clinton did. If you aren't aware, go to my Reclaiming the Republic website on reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the podcast page, the Red State Talk Radio podcast page. And at the very bottom of the podcast page, you will find this information. Or actually, it's a link. And what you want to look for is the testimony to Congress on the Bill Clinton timeline of corruption. And if you read through that, go to page 13. This is a Curry and Windterm who were a part of MSNBC. This is back when they were, you know, they weren't the lapdogs of the globalists and, you know, the communists of the world. Read this and you will find that Clinton was, you know, he had a complete open door reception for anything and everything that communist China wanted, because he was on the take for it. They kept on giving him money so that he would do what they wanted him to do. So it's not just recent that the Chinese Communist Party has been involved in buying our elections. It goes all the way back into the 90s, folks. And I remember in the 80s when I was going through intelligence training that the majority of China in the strategic buildings, like their ballistic, you know, missile buildings and so forth, they were practically dirt floors and Quonset huts. And look at them today, because they have been buying and buying and buying our politicians so that they could steal our technology and get more and more technology companies in there. Like I just said, Elon Musk. I am telling you, folks, we have and we should have zero relations with China. We should actually be talking to the states that are being harassed by China to enter or consider, that's the better word, for them to truly consider basically becoming and or applying to become a state. And we should actually be looking to do this, not at the, because if you understand, if we're in compliance of the Constitution, we're not spending money to bring these countries on board. These countries will be coming on board because they have an opportunity to engage in liberty. The people want to be free. There are lots of people, like in Spain and so forth, that have subjugated themselves where they want to be enslaved to the handouts of the state. But there's lots of nations, there's lots of countries that are in positions where they would much rather be free. And I'm telling you that if we use that as a foreign policy, that would start shaking up the world, period. Anyway, as everybody knows, and I could talk about this, and there will probably be G. Edward Griffin Need to Know News, but the one thing I did want to mention is everything, and this is another I told you so, everything that former President Trump did in executive orders is now being undone by Joe Biden. Apparently, somebody's been taking notes. And I am telling you, the reason why he's able to undo these things is because they're unconstitutional. And he's doing the exact same unconstitutional act by creating executive orders in doing things, whether it be opening our borders or what have you. He has no legislative power or authority. You've got to understand that if you want to get rid of all of this crap, you've got to start putting the pressure on your state legislators to call for an audit and republic review. This is the process that ends it. Are you fed up yet? Because if you believe there's another way, give us a call, 425-270-5416. Give us a comment. Tell us what that other way is. And we'll be happy to analyze that. We'll even call you up so that you can defend it if you want. But there is no other way. As Madison stated, only the states are the judges and jury to determine whether their constitution has been violated and what measures they are, you know, willing to seek in fixing this problem. Because bottom line, only they can do this. This is why we have to demand that they do this. G. Edward Griffin. Okay, so this goes into the executive orders, I told you. On his first day in office, President Joe Biden signed more than a dozen executive orders, including orders for the U.S. to rejoin the World Health Organization, to rejoin the Paris Accord, and a commitment to racial equity training in the critical race theory and a federal mask mandate. He signed an order overturning Trump's travel ban order. Non-citizens will be counted in the U.S. Census, affecting the allocation of money and federal representation in a direct violation of the 14th Amendment, Section 2. I'm telling you, these guys are shredding our Constitution, and they're doing things that will absolutely undermine that. He ordered an end to the construction of the border wall. He extended eviction and foreclosure moratoriums and paused student loan payments until September 30. He ended the Keystone XL pipeline and revoked oil and gas development at national wildlife monuments and much, much more. And he's going to continue. What's it going to take, folks? What is it going to take for you to finally stop doing the insane things by, you know, getting embraced or getting enthralled in the news cycle and getting yourself active and involved? The two organizations I will tell you to get involved with, the National Liberty Alliance and the Constitution Party. Both of those will help you understand the Constitution, what we have to do, and they should be pointing you towards this process called Republic Review, auditing the Constitution and demanding full compliance. Now, there are lots of people in the Constitution Party as far as chairs and states, because they didn't come to the November meeting to listen to what I said, and I'm reaching out to them. But as they start getting exposed to this, they are understanding that, wow, yeah, this would actually work. You should be ahead of them, and you should be helping them drive full compliance to the U.S. Constitution and demanding that. But anyway, we've got another break. We'll be right back after this. I don't want to bleed into the promo, so we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so let's get back to some G. Edward Griffin need-to-know news. Most people have heard that Black Lives Matter, I believe, has been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize because these peaceful protests that they did throughout the United States is worthy of a Nobel Prize. Or I will tell you that because of the political agenda that the Nobel Peace Prize has been using since it's basically been infiltrated by the communists years and years and years ago, that and it's all the awards. I mean, even the rock and roll, you know, awards and country award, all of these different awards have been taken over by the political agenda. And so everybody should know that Black Lives Matter is in a position to receiving this money, another $3 million or whatever it is, from the Nobel Peace Prize award that they're probably going to be handed. According to G. Edward Griffin, he is reporting that according to The Economist, Black Lives Matter is planning to start a bank sometime this year to push capital into black-owned firms. Now, so here's the problem, that do you think they're going to have the same mentality of being able to just receive money and throwing money at people to doing, you know, harmful things and so forth? Because when you start getting into business, you have to make business decisions that have nothing to do with your political decisions. And so this will either bite them in the butt or this will become a very successful mechanism, because who knows? They're investing in these black companies and making them possibly militant types of companies that may become very successful if they, you know, you put the screws to them and say, this is what you're going to do. We don't know. But we do know that the Tides Foundation, that was created in the 70s as a conduit to enable donors to anonymously support left-wing causes, controls Black Lives Matter's money. Payouts are made as grants masking the original benefactors' identities from public scrutiny. This money likely will be funneled into organizations that work to suppress opposition to the leftist agenda. And so just so you know that there's a little bit more going on than just a Nobel Peace Prize. This next one, it really speaks to the misuse of the military. This isn't a black, or I should say a G. Edward Griffin. This is really out in the news. But this speaks to the misuse of the military, which will become very common. If you understand the term posse comitatus, the law of citizenry under the sheriff, the Pentagon and the Department of Defense has no jurisdiction in sending troops into the United States. That's what the militia is for, period. The Constitution is very clear on this. Anyway, the Pentagon has received a request from the Federal Emergency Management Agency to assist with President Joe Biden's plan to boost COVID-19 vaccinations across the country in its first 100 days. Well, people go, No, this is a violation of posse comitatus. There are barriers to using the U.S. military for domestic purposes. They're not even, one of the things in intel oversight, we couldn't, with aerial reconnaissance, when we took pictures, we had to delete or throw away the imagery of anything that was not military bases on the United States soil because of intel oversight. Now, you probably heard this as well. Rebecca Jones, the former data analyst, who claims she was fired after refusing to alter Florida's COVID-19 numbers, said that the police have issued a warrant for her arrest. This was a little while back. And, you know, they're processing her on charging her. But here she is as a whistleblower. She was acting as an independent press person in getting a story out. And when the government comes after those people that are, you know, pointing the finger at them and getting people informed with the fact that, hey, these players aren't playing nicely, aren't following the laws. Well, hold on. Well, we can't have that. We can't let people, this part of the press can't be free. So my point is, going back to the freedom of the press, they should not be able to go after anybody that whistleblows or says anything unless it's proven to be salacious. But it better be proven by a third-party objective investigator, not by internal, you know, audits or what have you. And as far as I am concerned, I think that this has to be a standard conversation. We need to start looking with fine scrutiny at our media process and our news or journalism so that we can start holding these ideologues to some standards. If not, then they pay. They're a tabloid and they can pay taxes and, you know, because it's just like advertisement. That's all they're doing is promoting their agenda. The growth of COVID is real, but the silence about the fact that we have been inflicted as a result of Chinese biological warfare is getting, you know, I'll just say number and number. There is very little now that the narrative in the White House has changed. We will now stop hearing these things. And so what we're going to be hearing is that the COVID is our enemy. No, the source of where this came from is our enemy. The Chinese Communist Party is our enemy. In the news, it's being falsely reported that the virus is the cause of layoffs and not draconian government regulations. Don't let them tell you these types of things. Don't let them tell you, you know, that the coronavirus is anything other than a biological application, a biological warfare application by China. That's all it is. G. Edward Griffin, Dr. Michael Yaden, a researcher who was employed with Pfizer until 2011, and German Dr. Wolfgang Woodard sent a petition to the European Medicines Agency asking the EMA, the European Medicines Agency, to stop clinical trials of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine. The doctor said that the vaccine might block a protein that is crucial in the formation of the placenta and that it could, quote, result in vaccinated women essentially becoming infertile. Pfizer responded that there is no data to show that the vaccine will cause infertility, which probably is true because no long-term studies on this issue have ever been conducted. It is easy to not find something if one doesn't look for it. Pfizer also said there is no difference in the outcome of pregnancies with and without SARS and COVID-2 infection, or COV-2 infection, which is a distraction because it has nothing to do with the question about the effect of the vaccines on the outcome of pregnancies. I want you to understand this. You know, if you haven't seen that meme that started going around before the vaccines came out, you know, just remember, you know, in 10 years or maybe 5 years from now, there's going to be these legal advertisements on television to say, did you get vaccinated for COVID-19? You could be, you know, do millions of dollars, you know, sign up because we have this class action lawsuit and you can get stipends because it's going to be that big and that bad of a deal. This is what we have to start really being aware of and the consequences of allowing people to lead us by the nose. Another G. Edward Griffin need to know news. The U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission issued guidelines last week claiming that requiring a COVID test would not violate the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990, and that, even though that act is unconstitutional, though employers can't require certain medical exams like blood tests, the COVID vaccine does not apply. Critics conclude that this is how the COVID vaccine will be enforced. If you have a job, your business, your employer is going to mandate you to have that shot. Thorough businesses, or basically through businesses and through business processes in association with government, they are going to start mandating that if you want to work here, you have to get these vaccinations. Well, hold on here. And I've even railed about this, that employers should allow you time off for, you know, getting, you know, if you're going to get sick, don't come into work to get everybody else sick. But it's another thing to say you have to have something injected. And if you understand employment being a, you know, an at-will thing, if employers do that, what should be happening is people should be leaving that employer. As a matter of fact, the employer that wants to inflict that kind of harm upon their employees is not worth working for. And so people need to actually start standing up and saying, you know what, I'm at will as well. I can walk out of here. You can't make me do this because I am not your slave. But the problem is too many people are too lazy, and many employers know that the likelihood of you leaving and actually trying to get a job, especially if you're a performer, you could do that. Most people can do it and get away with it. But too many people are complacent and lazy. We have more for you regarding need-to-know news and marketing in our next episode. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.